I love my cat. Waking up to him, laying by my side, purring. It's really the best feeling. That is. Of course. Until he starts needing me. His adorable little razor blades attached to his adorable little paws, digging into my skin. So, unfortunately, I have to push him away from me. I'm sure I'm not alone in experiencing this somewhat painful situation. In fact, an estimated 68% of U.S. households have a pet. And while not all of those are cats, I'm sure those pets bring just as much joy. In dark times, we have our fluffy or scaly or bumpy or smooth or fuzzy friends to keep us company. Pets are a great support system used by many people all around the world, helping people in unique ways. So many people are unaware of how coping mechanisms even work, and are left alone to deal with their emotions. That is my worry, that we are allowing the loneliness that has been perpetuated recently to overtake us, and never learn how to cope with it. First, head on to the show, and learn about loneliness and how many people cope with it. Next, we're going to meet some coping mechanisms and learn how they impact us. Finally, we'll adopt some new skills and mechanisms to better help ourselves. Loneliness, something we've all dealt with before, and yet you've probably never wondered how it's medically defined. But for the sake of today's speech, I'll be the one to tell you. The CDC states loneliness is the feeling of being alone, regardless of the amount of social contact. The feeling of being alone, that we don't have others to support us. Loneliness can be perpetuated no matter the circumstances, and has been linked to worsened physical and mental health. It can be caused by exacerbating factors, including, but not limited to, literal isolation, mental illness, a lack of opportunities for connection, a lack of friends and family. But maybe they just don't understand how fun it is to keep rolling boys as my best myself. Recently, we found that many more people are experiencing that lack of connection. Do you remember that long, long time ago during 2020 when we were all quarantined? The National Institute of Health and Care Research states we found the prevalence of severe loneliness to be 21% during COVID-19, with 6% retrospectively reporting severe loneliness prior to the pandemic. This had lasting impacts on everyone across the globe. Most notably, the newer generation. Gen Z experienced the pandemic at a time when they were still learning how to view their world, leaving impacts on how they live. I guess you could call them the quarantines. See what I did there? Well, as I was saying, when one generation is affected, others are too. The older generations were at a higher risk of developing COVID-19, leading to anxiety and stress. They were isolated from their family and any other connections. Loneliness impacts all people. It's a pandemic of its own. Issue, we often find ourselves developing ways to cope that prove useless. With the pairing of loneliness and the anxiety that often stems from it, it's no wonder that people would turn to familiar, yet dangerous ways to feel better. After all, the devil that you know is better than the one you don't. Despite this, we remain usually lonely and usually feeling worse than before. Is it our fault? Should we just put ourselves out there? Why is it that, despite our best efforts, our attempts at coping just don't work? Is a complicated issue. In short, coping mechanisms are the ways that we deal with things, no matter how stressful. A breakup, losing a job or just a bloody nose. Our brain needs to process that information, react to it, and bounce back. It's the differences between how we react and bounce back that define coping mechanisms, that mark the line between healthy and maladaptive. For example, when I accidentally step on my cat's tail, I apologize to him profusely, take a deep breath, and make sure that he's okay. I process the situation and react to it through breathing exercises that help me stay calm and chill out, while he screams at me and acts like I am the most horrible, wretched being to ever walk this earth. Soon after, he finds that he simply must cope with the consumption of at least 5 treats. He is an example of what not to do. Although silly, this situation shows us how different people, or animals, will react to stimulus, and what ends up being better for the situation. Yeah! Keep us ruminating on the past, and end up just making us feel like trash, then they are maladaptive. They fail to properly adapt to our needs, and instead hinder our ability to function. These maladaptive behaviors often give us quick bursts of dopamine, presenting us with the feeling of getting better. They can manifest themselves in things such as substance abuse, social media addiction, and self-harm. The National Library of Medicine posted a study that found participants who resorted to maladaptive coping mechanisms constituted 37.2% of respondents and resorted to withdrawal from stressful situation, avoidance of a stressful environment, disengagement from a stressful relationship, and abuse of drugs and or alcohol. These dangerous behaviors are so important to fall into because they help us immediately feel better, as contrasted to the process of genuine coping.
Not now!
Of hurt, of loneliness, and a fear of having to leave it. Sadly, we often find ourselves blaming the original emotion for the consequences of our responses, and in turn, blaming ourselves for things we can't control. The causes of loneliness often being things that we never chose, such as mental illness or upbringing, we still find ways to blame ourselves. Is it the feeling of loneliness that made it so that you got into a fight, or the fact that you tried to in order to properly understand how to develop and practice healthy coping mechanisms, we must begin the assessment of our situation. Often, if we try to deny what it is that we are experiencing, it makes that thing harder to cope with. Attempting to tell yourself that you're not really alone, that you have enough friends, that you should be fine, denies yourself the right to do things. When you're hurting, when you're stressed out of your mind, responses. This is the key to understanding the differences between good and bad coping mechanisms. After a stressful situation, do you feel the urge to lock yourself up in your room for hours, never talking to anyone, or maybe to do whatever you can to drown out your feelings? If you do feel that way, that's okay. But it's when we act on those urges that we hurt ourselves. If you can easily imagine your response is leading to worse feelings or increased isolation, it's time to look for better ways to cope. I don't know a few good ways of coping, or ones that you even do. Breathing exercises, doing an activity you enjoy, and telling someone how you feel are all ways in which we can cope. It's not always easy to cope. Professional, community, therapists, and friends who are able to help us.
here.
Cool. Overwhelming this crisis and many a stressful situation, we often find ourselves looking for ways to cope. Often, these methods are dangerous and can hurt us. Thanks.